The next case on the call is In Re Interest of Camille B. Please.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, counsel. I'm Joy Schiffer Miller. I'm here on behalf of Natisha B., who is the mother of both Camille and Kamaya in this case. And this is a case of first impression in this court as far as the a bridge order. A bridge order is a vehicle that is proposed, that is in the legislature. They adopted a statute that says in the event that a juvenile court finds that the matter can be handled by a transfer of the custody from a previous custodial parent to another parent, that could end the juvenile court proceedings. They can do that, and that's what happened in this case with respect to the children. We are saying that was an error on the part of the court to find that the transfer of custody of these children to Samuel C., who had not previously been the father or the custodial parent of these children, we do not believe that the fact situation met the burden of proof to show that could end the proceedings successfully in this case.
Let's touch on the final order aspect of this case first.
Okay.
All right. How is an important right of your client lost if she's not allowed to immediately appeal that bridge order?
It is an important right of my client because she has been the custodial parent for these children throughout their lives, and the court made a finding that the custody would be transferred to Samuel C., who had not made these decisions before, and the children, their education and their medical treatment was now to be decided by Samuel C., and my client is no longer the person to make those decisions. She's no longer the custodial parent.
Your client will have if this was not found to be final order, taking that as the hypothetical of the situation.
Yes.
Your client would have the ability to go to district court for a de novo review of that order, correct?
It's not a de novo review of the order. My client has the right to go to the district court and file for a modification of the order that was made by the juvenile court.
And this is a special modification, though, because you don't have to prove a change of circumstances.
That's correct. You do not have to prove a change of circumstances, but you have to prove that you have to file a motion to modify, and my client does not have a right to have an attorney represent her, or a court-appointed attorney, I guess I should say. She obviously would have the right to have an attorney.
Which is how it is in all custody
cases.
Non-juvenile custody cases.
That's true.
At the conclusion of that district court, she would then have a right to have an appeal of that whatever came out of that court, correct?
Yes, I believe she would. Right. However, the actions of the juvenile court made that change. The actions of the juvenile court absolutely changed custody from my client to Samuel C., and it terminated the jurisdiction as it related to Camille and Kamaya in the juvenile court.
If the juvenile court did not use a bridge order but simply left the existing custody or placement in place with the father, what change would have been affected?
Well,
that wouldn't have been appealable, would it? Because it was already in place.
If there had not been a bridge order in place, what that would have left is that the current jurisdiction or the current decision maker on those children was actually the state, because they were under juvenile court jurisdiction and they were wards of the state. And so there is a change. When you enter a bridge order, it says they're no longer wards of the state, we're terminating jurisdiction, and now Samuel C. You are the current, you're the custodial parent of these children.
But viewed from your client's perspective, had the juvenile court simply left the case in place with the existing placement, she would have had no less or greater rights than she does under the bridge order, right?
Well, she would still then be under the court's plan, which is to reunify her with these children. See, the court order in juvenile court is a reunification plan. And so if there had not been a bridge order entered, the children would have been placed with Samuel C. But the custodian or the custodial parent, the person in charge of making decisions, my client would have input, Samuel C. would have input, the state would have input, and the court ultimately would decide some issues. My client would be rehabilitating
I understand
herself.
What you're saying about that. Do you agree that the control of whether or not this custodial arrangement continues under a bridge order for an extended period of time would rest within your client's control? In other words, the client would have the opportunity to go to the district court, and it could be a very short period of time before that matter is brought.
I think the difficulty with that would be that my client has a right to go to district court, but we all know that if you have a right, whether or not that's a meaningful right, if you are a parent that cannot afford to hire an attorney and bring that to the district court, I think she doesn't really have a meaningful right to go to district court to make that arrangement. I agree, she could have immediately filed a modification in the district court. Samuel C. would have been required to answer it, and the district court could have determined best interest of the children and whether it was in the best interest to make this change of custody. But what I'm saying is that the juvenile court also has an obligation to decide whether or not really we're at the level that this is what a court should do. I mean, my client had progressed in the rehabilitative plan such that the children, Dyrese and Diogene, were being returned to her care at the very same time that the court was deciding to modify the custody to Samuel C. in this case.
Let's flip the circumstances a little bit. Let's assume that we decide it is a final order.
Yes.
And that we were to say the evidence is sufficient in this case to find that it was a correct decision. The bridge order would, if we affirm the bridge order, wouldn't your client then still have a right to file an immediate modification in district court and, in essence, have a second bite at the same apple?
She would have a right. I would submit that the issues are different in district court. I think if she files in the district court, then the district court has to make findings about
best interest.
But whereas
you don't think best interest is part of the calculus on a bridge order?
I think that it should be. I think the way the judge handled it really was not. She just made a finding that there's another custodial parent out there, I'll just put him here. And that's part of my argument is she didn't make the findings that it was best interest. My client had a bigger house. The children had not been regularly, they had been late for school under Samuel C.'s getting them to school. He had a one-bedroom apartment.
I guess
there were all those issues.
What I'm really getting at is what res judicata effect would there be of a bridge order if it is treated as a final order?
There's not a res judicata effect because you can go to district court and make the change, but I think the difficulty is you don't have assistance of counsel necessarily to do so.
The focus of due process is it twofold. One, a lack of due process while you were still at juvenile court, apart from a lack of due process by virtue of the order that was entered.
I believe those both. I probably didn't well enough argue that in my brief, but I think by transferring custody and leaving it up to the district court, if my client later is able to file a motion to modify,
well, that's how how the package arrives at district court.
That's true.
Well, that's that's a different set of facts.
Yes. But I have 22 seconds left, and so I'll reserve my time, I guess.
Thank you. All right, before you begin, I'm not quite sure if the previous comments by the chief are incorporated into this oral argument. The Chief Justice is participating in this case on the briefs. Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
May it please the court, counsel. My name is Megan Zobel, and I represent the appellee, Samuel C., the father of the minor children, Camille and Kamaya. As we have been discussing with Ms. Schiffer-Miller, I would first like to begin addressing the jurisdiction issue in this case. As you are well aware, for the appellate court to have jurisdiction over the matter before it, there must be a final order by which the appeal is by the court of which the appeal is taken.
You agree this is would be the path would be a type 2 final order under 25-1902
as a special proceeding.
Special proceeding substantial right.
I would agree that we are under that.
Okay,
that type 2, yes.
And juvenile courts are special proceedings.
Correct.
So we can skip over that.
Okay. So then at that point, it becomes whether or not Natisha B's substantial rights were affected to parent her children. And we believe that a substantial right has not been affected in this case. And we alert the court to several different juvenile court cases wherein a substantial right of a parent was determined to have not been affected. And that depended on both the subject matter of the order that was put into place by the juvenile court and length of time over which that parent's relationship with the minor children would be reasonably be expected to be disturbed. So obviously a termination of parental rights, it's certainly that's a final order when it becomes the parental rights are terminated.
But in all of the what we might call the difficult cases about those, they were all where there was going to be ongoing juvenile court involvement, right?
That is correct, yes, Your Honor. I believe we looked at permanency orders where they were still in juvenile court, yet those permanency orders just extended basically what the previous orders were put into place. So, you know, the parenting times of that parent, and they still allow the ability of reunification. And I believe here the statute specifically for bridge orders allows for the ability to reunify by way of motioning in district court for a modification without proving a substantial need or substantial change in circumstances, and then applying the best interest factors and letting that district court judge make that decision at that time.
Just to clear up one thing, you're saying the child custody is not a substantial right. We found that child custody is a substantial right, correct?
Correct, Your Honor.
So this is substantially affecting a substantial right, is your argument?
Well, our argument is that these bridge orders should be treated similarly to a permanency order or a temporary custody order in juvenile court because she is allowed to modify it without, again, proving a substantial change in circumstances in the district court. So what we're stating is, you know, the bridge order that was put into place by the juvenile court only extended the previous review order that I believe was a little less than 3 weeks maybe that was put into place prior to the bridge order allowing parenting time for Natisha to have with her children. I believe weekend parenting time had just started and the bridge order mirrored that. It just continued that previous order in regards to her parenting time.
Prior to the existence of the bridge order statute, an order terminating juvenile court jurisdiction would have ended the placement with your client and would have, as by operation of law, the prior custodial arrangement that wasn't disturbed would spring back into existence, right?
Correct, Your Honor. And here there was no custodial order, there was no custody order in place at the time. I know cases where there have been custody orders, and so that custody arrangement would go back to the parent who was the custodial parent, ordered custodial parent at the time. But we do not have a custody order in place. We have a paternity order, and my client's support, I believe, had been suspended throughout the juvenile court proceedings while he had placement of the minor children.
Isn't, you're saying that, I think your position is, that when there's a paternity order entered where custody is not specifically granted, that it's not implicitly in the custodial, what was then the custodial parent?
Right, and that is what I'm saying, and I think that's part of the reason why we have, why this legislature wanted to implement these bridge orders, is because we don't want to leave these children in this limbo period where, well, one, these kids are languished in juvenile court while mom is still trying to figure out how to address the adjudicated issues that she had, and so they're safely placed with the dad. And these kids, again, had been safely placed with the father for close to a year at the time of the bridge order, and had been exercising most recent parenting time, just started overnights with mom. And I believe that that's, you know, part of the reason for the bridge orders, is so we don't have these children kind of in this limbo period of time while we're trying to get mom, Natisha, here to figure out if she's going to take part in these services or if she's going to continue in these services. We believe that at this time...
I will interrupt you again. Did you hear the argument by the appellant about the loss of the court-appointed attorney's assistance if this happens? Were you familiar with that argument?
Yes, Your Honor.
What is your response to that?
Both parties are in the same position. My client also is not... He does not get a court-appointed counsel at that time. And so I believe that they have the opportunity. Again, he could have had the opportunity at some point in time also to modify a paternity order if he wanted custody. But at that time, he would have had to prove a substantial change in circumstances. They're allowed within a year for the time where she decides that she's going to take part and the juvenile court does close regarding, or I'm sorry, does terminate jurisdiction regarding the entire case, regarding all children, and she can go ahead and modify it within the district court without proving a substantial change in circumstances. And yes, I understand that she is not allowed a court-appointed attorney, but nobody else is in district court. And so she has the ability to modify on her own. I would like to address, if this court does find that there is jurisdiction in this case, we would state that the trial court did not err in granting Samuel C's motion for a bridge order, and further, the trial court did not err in finding it in Camille and Kamaya's best interests to place legal and physical custody with Samuel C. The bridge order allows for the juvenile court to terminate jurisdiction over the juvenile custody and visitation by way of a bridge order transferring into the district court. We know that. This was properly done in this case. There was an adjudication and a disposition of a 3A case. Samuel's paternity had been legally established. The children were safely placed with Samuel through the duration of the proceedings, and the juvenile court determined that that jurisdiction should properly end once the orders of custody, care, and visitation were in place. Now, the 43-246-02 bridge order statute was drafted based on similar legislation out of the state of Iowa that had essentially increased permanency for children without increasing the court cost and time by having the juveniles languish in juvenile court. And I believe that was the introducer's intent for the bridge order statute here in Nebraska. And although not controlling, there is an Iowa appellate case that gives good guidance in this case when deciding if the court made the correct decision. In that Iowa case, there were parents that had issues getting along. The mom she lacked encouragement, basically, of the father's relationship with the minor children. The father at the time was not cooperating with the department, and he was only on semi-supervised visits at the time of the entry of the bridge order. At the time, though, children were placed safely with the mother. Similarly here, the girls were placed safely with Samuel for close to a year. They had adjusted while living with him. There was testimony from both the caseworker, from Samuel himself, and even some from Natisha that the girls were placed safely. There was evidence.
I'm sorry to interrupt you with this question, but does it matter that there are other children involved, or are we just focused on the two subject to this order?
I believe it does not matter that there were other children involved in this case. I think the purpose of, again, we have two children with one father, and who are able to be safely placed with the father. And I believe that the court did correctly apply that 25-13-15 statute when addressing just a few of the parties. Specifically, I think the bridge order's purpose is to not delay the court's ruling regarding those two children. And she did make an express determination of the judgment by way of the bridge order, by way of finding it in the best interest of those two children specifically, the jurisdiction and for the juvenile court. We have evidence that indicates the girls were bonded with Samuel. They were comfortable with him. He met their physical, emotional, educational, developmental needs. All of that comes in before the court. And it is important to mention that the statute does not require that the juvenile court decide who the better parent is. And I know opposing counsel argued much time in her brief that it does matter who the better parent is, that Natisha had been improving and working.
Finish the thought.
She had been working towards closing this case. However, what the juvenile court had to decide was whether the children were safely placed with Samuel, and I believe they did that here. In conclusion, we believe that the Supreme Court does lack jurisdiction to hear this bridge order. However, if they do find that they have jurisdiction, we would ask that the lower court's decision be affirmed. Thank you.
Thank you. 22 seconds?
This case is different than the Iowa case that was cited by Ms. Zobel. The kids were not languishing in juvenile court on our case. My client was correcting the conditions rapidly and was restoring the children. And Samuel C., his only time as being a parent previous to juvenile court jurisdiction was when he kidnapped the children from my client. So we submit it was a final order, and you should not put the onus on a parent that's not entitled to counsel to go back and modify. I think that affects her substantial rights, and it should be appealable. Thank you.
Thank you. That concludes arguments for today. You're excused. Thank you.